And now, time for Finances on Friday, a weekly program designed to inform and educate you regarding your finances, sponsored by Landmark Capital. Now, let's listen as David Fisher joins host Bart DeSilva for the next 30 minutes for an informative financial forum, Finances on Friday, on KHNR AM 690 and FM 94.3, The Answer.
All right. Welcome once again. It's time for Finances on Friday, our favorite 30 minutes, the most educational, informative, and possibly lucrative. And here we are once again talking with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David, you know, you have been educating the audience so well over the past few months. I myself have learned so much every 30 minutes that we share every Friday at 6:30 on KHNR AM and FM. It's Bart DeSilva, your host, and this half hour will be no different. We've got some great questions for you, David, and we're going to cover various things like President Trump, reeling in spending, how America got to where it is today, President Trump and his team's ideas to slash the budget. And of course, we'll get to the future for gold and silver. It looks like it's shining bright. David, aloha and welcome to Finances on Friday.
Aloha, TGIF, Bart. Thanks for having me. I am so excited about our program today. I can't believe some of the things we're going to talk about. It will be eye-opening, ear-catching, and thought-provoking. Thanks for having me.
And I want to remind folks, we've got some phone number and some free information that we want to share with you. It's absolutely free. Landmark Capital is the name of the company. If you want to just go to the website right now while you're listening, just go to landmarkgold.com. We'll share those phone numbers with you. But let's jump right into our very first question. David, President Trump is going to reel in government. We've heard a lot about that. Government spending specifically. And he's going to do it fast. Now, there's been a slow change of overspending in our country over decades. How did we get here?
Well, it's kind of like the frog in the, not the boiling pot, but slowly turned up the heat over decades of time. You know, most Americans do think something is really wrong in our nation. We don't always agree what that thing is. But I don't think there's a person out there that doesn't think that the government definitely hasn't overspent. It's clearly overspent, and it's become a fabric of our society, and that just seems to be the norm. But let's go back in time. In 1950, the federal government consumed 14.2% of the GDP. This year, according to the Congressional Budget Office, it's 24%. So it's almost doubled from 1950 till now. Our Constitution was designed, though, to limit government interference, limit government spending, and yet we've become the very opposite. The sad paradox is that Americans now are turning to the government for their financial freedom, and it's putting them in slavery. Our founding forefathers never envisioned this, that people would rely on government to help them out. What I'm referring to, because the government, the growth of the government has exploded, the growth of the federal debt has exploded, and that's not a formula for financial security in the future. But Americans now, Bart, are more dependent on government handouts, according to a new report states. Payments from the government have become the fastest growing source of income for Americans, according to this new study, a report by the Economic Innovation Group, the EIG. It's a public policy research organization. And they title this report, The Great Transformation. And it states that America has become substantially more dependent on government support, with the share of national income coming from what we call transfer payments have doubled over the past 53 years. What are transfer payment programs? I'm referring to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment, disability, food stamps, veteran benefits, things like that. So in the last 50 years, the support has doubled on what people need that to survive. Transfer payments in 1970 represented about 8% of the U.S. total income. Today it's 18%. So it's proud, you know, it's pushing out private income and reliance on the government. Now the Federal Reserve, they're not the government, they're an independent bank. They have data on this. And they say that transfer payments have increased from 1970 from $70 billion to 2020. It maxed out at $6 trillion.
Wow. Mm.
We went from 1970, $70 billion to $6 trillion.
Wow.
That was the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Where are we at today? We've pulled back from there, but not a whole lot. We're at $4.3 trillion. That's atrocious still. And in 1970, only about 1% of all U.S. counties reported that the government transfer payment made up their budget. Now it's 25% of counties and their budgets.
Yeah.
So even counties are dependent upon the government. So the bottom line is, something's wrong with this economic model, because if we continue down this road, we will all be working for the government.
Mm.
Of course, I'm not going to do that. You're not going to do that.
No.
But that's where the trend is. Mm. You can't survive as a country when that happens. All countries have fallen when this has happened. A huge rise in their support coming, their income coming from the government. That's not free markets. That's not free capitalism. That is not what America was built upon, but that's what will make America great again.
You're listening to Finances on Friday, KHNR AM and FM, The Answer. And, of course, here with The Answers every single Friday, Landmark Capital's David Fisher. Here's a phone number, folks. Write this number down. Get some free information, not only on investing in gold and silver, but the free white papers, the coming bail-in, and BRICS. Write the number down, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575. Bart DeSilva with question number two for you, David. What are some of the ideas how President Trump and his team want to slash that $2 trillion budget deficit?
Well, here's a couple billionaires that are chiming in. I'm referring to Elon Musk. Previously predicted he could cut at least $2 trillion from the U.S. federal budget. And Vivek Ramaswamy says that he could also help, and he has a plan on that. Both have been selected by President Trump to head what he calls the DOGE, which is D-O-G-E.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cryptocurrency out there, a coin. And when they announced this, that coin went up like a whole bunch in one day. But it stands for the Department of Government Efficiency.
And isn't that an oxymoron? Isn't that government efficiency? Isn't that an oxymoron?
Yeah, I don't know. How do you say that together in the same sentence? Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
I feel like it's Sesame Street. One of these things does not act like the other.
That's right.
Something like they don't get along. Anyway, they want to slash excess regulations, cut wasteful expenditures, and restructure federal agencies. They're an outside source. Therefore, they don't have to be, you know, prorated, or they don't have to go through Congress to be approved or anything like that. It's just a opinion of two billionaires. They actually, it could be bigger than what we call the Manhattan Project back in the day. So according to the statement, their work will conclude no later than July 4th of 2026, which is the nation's 250th anniversary.
Mm.
Vivek, here's what he wanted to do. Here's what his plan is. On day one, if you're Social Security and you work for the government, remember, $2 trillion, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You work for the government. If your Social Security number, the last number, is an odd number, you're fired.
What?
Yeah, if you're an even number, you're still working. That would slash 50% of the workforce for the government. Now, I'm talking about not elected officials, not people who were voted in office. I'm talking about people on the payroll that were hired by the government. That's what he's referring to.
Okay.
But he's not done there. He says then, the same day, if the first number in your Social Security number is an odd number, you're fired.
Oh, boy.
You're an even. You stay in. So that would slash 75% of the government.
Wow.
The reduction would happen in 1 minute.
Wow.
You don't have lawsuits because you're not dealing with gender discrimination, racial discrimination, political viewpoint discrimination.
Mm.
And most companies large companies, 25% of the workforce does 80 to 90% of the work.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying this is no different. But think about that, the ramifications of that. It's just like a wow.
Wow.
He was on earlier being interviewed on a podcast by Lex Fridman, if you want to watch. It's like a three-hour podcast. Mm-hmm. But let's put this into perspective, because I'm a numbers person. And I'm not here to put down Vivek or Elon Musk or anything. But to me, I'm the German guy, because that's my heritage. And mm-hmm. it's got to make sense. It's got to be mathematically sensible. There's 21 million government employees. 75% would slash 17 million jobs. Those people would be immediately filing for unemployment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment would go through the roof. Wouldn't be 3%. Wouldn't be 30%. Something. I mean, huge. It'd be a huge number. And they would get unemployment benefits. But let's put it into perspective. Last week, we talked about this. I said the budget deficit is $2 trillion. We'd have to slash the budget by $2 trillion to get this thing under control. And 25% of that budget is the only part that you can work with, because 75% is fixed. It's Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, interest payment on the national debt. And even though defense is not a mandatory spending, it's a sacred cow, I said. And mm-hmm. President Trump's not going to cut that. But let's go back to this. If they slashed the salaries, because the salaries for all the government workers in 2023 totaled $271 billion. So if they slashed 100% of the government workers, which they wouldn't, they would only save $271 billion. That's we're like a quarter of the way there.
Mm-hmm.
A fourth of the way there. We're an eighth of the way there. Not even close to where we need to be. So this, I don't know if Vivek was saying this for sensationalism. I don't know if he's saying it for political gain. I don't know what the motive behind it was, but the numbers don't pan out, not even close to working.
Wow.
Maybe there's some ulterior motive there. Maybe, who knows? We'll find out more, and we'll keep the listeners in Hawaii notified what this all comes about. I'm intrigued by the idea. I think we should slash the budget, but got to work on the other side too.
Most definitely. Well, you're listening to Finances on Friday with David Fisher of Landmark Capital. Give him a call right now, 844-604-2575. Real simple, just go to landmarkgold.com. We're going to be back with some more questions for David, and we're going to talk about our favorite subject, gold and silver, as Finances on Friday continues right here. KHNR AM and FM, The Answer. Don't go anywhere.
Gold is in the news. Why? Because the world is going towards gold, and Costco, a major retailer, has now been selling gold since 2023 to citizens in America. They've sold around $200 million a month. Landmark Capital wants to make it even easier for you to buy gold. The same type of gold, a 1 ounce, 24 karat bar that Costco is selling. Landmark Capital is also doing the same, but at a cheaper price than Costco. It's for limited time only, one per household, no annual fees like Costco, no hidden fees, no gimmicks, no nonsense for immediate delivery. Call me right now at Landmark Capital and take advantage of this.
You heard David. Give Landmark Capital a call right now. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575. Or just go to landmarkgold.com.
Have you heard that the government can seize your hard-earned money? We're talking about your 401k, your IRA, your money in the bank. Fox News has a report on it, but Landmark Capital has a white paper on it called The Coming Bail-In. Call Landmark Capital today to receive your free copy. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575 or landmarkgold.com. That's landmarkgold.com.
We return to Finances on Friday with Landmark Capital's David Fisher and your host, Mark DeSilva.
All right, we're back once again to Finances on Friday, a weekly program every Friday at 6:30 with your host, Mark DeSilva, and a wealth, pun intended, of knowledge every single Friday with David Fisher from Landmark Capital. And David, always interesting. Question number three right now. What about tariffs? And by the way, will they work?
Well, President Trump says that's his favorite word in the dictionary.
Yep.
We'll see how that comes to pass. You know, I've kind of been a little bit reluctant because all the studying I've done about tariffs, it's a passing on to a certain extent as a tax to the consumer in the United States. And it only works if they actually, you know, somebody from China sends over a whole bunch of products. If they don't send it over, then there's no benefit to the United States and actually any more revenue coming in. So I don't know if it's a total revenue source. It doesn't look like it because, you know, companies pay that come in and they pass that extra payment that they make to the government. They pass it off in raising the prices on things. But President Trump is going to make America great. And what I found out, tariffs have been a part of the fabric of America since the very beginning. It's as real as apple pie. Let me explain. From the years 1790 all the way through to 1962, the United States pursued high tariff policies under a program that was known as, quote, the American system. Now, it stopped in 1962, and things changed. So think back. We had really a lot of huge economic growth, and it was up until about the 70s when it all suddenly changed. Maybe that was because they took us off a gold standard. Maybe because they did away with tariffs. I don't know. Maybe both. But let's go back. This program was created by George Washington's Secretary of Treasury, Alexander Hamilton. He drafted a report to Congress called the Report on Manufacturers, presented it to Congress in 1791. And Hamilton proposed that in order to have a strong country, America needed a strong manufacturing base with jobs that taught skills and offered income security. What a great concept, Bart.
Yeah, really.
We haven't had that for a long time.
Common sense.
Common sense economics.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Hamilton's plan was later proposed on a broader scale by a Kentucky senator named Henry Clay. The new plan began with a tariff of 1860. So in 1816, tariffs went into effect, and later on, Abraham Lincoln adopted the, quote, American system as his platform in the election of 1860, and it became a bedrock principle of the new Republican Party. So tariffs were the fabric of our country for decades, centuries, if you will. Moving on, it was affirmed by William McKinley at the end of the 19th century and even by Dwight Eisenhower in the 1950s. But in the 1900s and the early 20th centuries, those were a heyday for the American system. This period was characterized by enormous economic growth and population expansion in the United States. The key takeaway here, Bart, is that America grew rich and powerful all the way from 1787 to 1962, a period of 175 years. How? By using tariffs, subsidies, and other barriers to trade that nurtured domestic industry growth and protection of high-paying manufactured jobs in the good old United States. But something changed. Decades after World War II, liberal globalist international orders prevailed. A free doctrine trade replaced the American system. Globalism required free trade, open borders, and free capital flows. In reality, it caused lost jobs, lost competitiveness, and lower wages, especially for Americans. And I will say, taking us off a gold standard, Nixon by 1971 had also a major financial impact. So what Trump is trying to do, he's rejecting this globalist playbook, and he's pursuing the basic same principles and policies that were predominant in the U.S. from George Washington all the way through to Dwight Eisenhower. And that is how he's going to make America great. I think he's also going to want to put us on a gold standard. We talked about that last week. It's not just one thing he's going to do. He's going to do multiple things. So my view on tariffs, I've opened my mind. I'm trying to give President Trump the benefit of the doubt. And that's why I did some studying, and I found out that it's the fabric of the United States from the very get-go.
Great news. Finances on Friday. We're living in exciting times. And, of course, if you're listening to the program, then you need to write down the phone number because, you know, you'll get some free information just for calling Landmark Capital. That phone number, 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575, or real simple, just go to landmarkgold.com. That was a great encapsulation of what tariffs are and where we've been and how we got to where we are now. Looking towards the future, though, David, what are the things in the future that could spur a rise for gold and silver?
Well, let's take a look at the things that relate to that. A federal budget deficit causes gold to go higher. Federal debt, the federal interest payment on the national debt, the Fed's fund rate, where they have to lower rates because they can't make the payments. That's the environment we are in. Of course, the money supply has boomed. The Federal Reserve has expanded the money system from 2020 until now by 37%. That's skyrocketing is what that is. That's just a huge change. All those have spurred on a gold bull market. And I said we're in a bull market. Those are some of the facts that causes us to be in a bull market. But let's take David Fisher out of this because I own a gold company and I might sound self-serving. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mike McGlone, he's a senior commodity strategist at Bloomberg Intelligence. He says gold is on par of the performance with the S&P 500 the past 3 years, and he suggests that gold is gaining the upper hand on the S&P 500 as far as performance. He's not the only one. Brian Lunin, he's the CEO of a New Orleans investment conference, and recently he said that the Federal Reserve's money management will trigger the next crisis. He's saying successive rate cuts are baked into the cake because of the tremendous cost of servicing the federal debt levels at these interest rate levels, where $1 trillion we're referring to. And he's saying that the Fed is going to have to lower rates to near zero, maybe zero, and maybe negative interest rates. Janet Yellen said we'd never be doing that. Who knows? We might have to do that. But Ludwin forecasts that gold, because of the Fed's action in lowering interest rates, will be forced to do that because of the payment on the debt. Gold will hit a range between 6,000 to 8,000. Wow. As of the recording today, stocks are flat. Gold is up almost 2%. Silver is up almost 3%. We're in a major bull market. But let me tell you what's really driving this thing. We've never talked about this on your program, so I got a couple of minutes to just roll it out. There's an institution called the BIS, Bank of International Settlements. It's often called the Central Bank of Central Banks. They have more control over any financial institution than anything. The Federal Reserve even answers to them, and so does the United States. They have 63 member states. They they manage around 90% of the world's GDP. So they have oversight over that. And in 2019, the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, designated gold from a Tier 3 asset to a Tier 1 asset under what they call the Basel Accord, the importance in the banking system. In other words, they're saying physical gold is going to take precedence over paper gold and derivatives and risk assets. It's the number one thing you have to have as a country, as a bank, as a financial institution. That's Basel III goes into place. But let me, before they do that, Basel II went into place already. What is Basel II? They created the bail-in, where these countries did bail-ins into their financial system, into their citizens' bank account and retirement account. That was implemented in 2008, and we adopted that as a country in 2010. That's where the law was passed. So make sure you call my company and get that report on the coming bail-in. But Basel III requires financial institutions to hold a higher percentage proportion of physical gold rather than paper gold. Basel III is the end game. It's going to go into take effect July 1st of 2025. So banks got to gear up and buy a lot of gold, is what I'm saying. Central banks of the world, they've been buying gold to comply with Basel III, but they're not there yet. They got to buy a lot more gold.
Wow.
So that's why gold is on a bull market. And the World Gold Council said Basel III, this requirement, is going to drive gold prices a lot higher. So call my company. Silver will also go up too, maybe even more. Call my company. Learn about the bail-in. Learn how to get your money protected. Learn how to diversify. You can roll over your 401k, your IRA into physical gold, not paper gold, and get protected. No pressure, no obligation. But learn the facts, and we are here to help you.
All right, always some golden advice each and every Friday. David Fisher, Landmark Capital. People, write down the phone number, 844-604-2575. Or very simply, just go to landmarkgold.com and join us again a week from tonight when we talk about all things that are happening and how it impacts your personal finances and how you can protect yourself with physical gold and silver. Courtesy of Landmark Capital and David Fisher, right here each and every Friday at 6:30, and the replay Saturdays tomorrow at 10 a.m. on KHNR AM and FM, The Answer. And we say aloha, David Fisher.
Aloha.
You've been listening to Finances on Friday, a weekly informative financial forum brought to you by Landmark Capital. Join us next Friday at the same time for another 30 minutes of insightful and important information regarding you and your finances right here on KHNR AM 690 at 94.3 The Answer.